Crickets fiddled in the grass as the first rays of dawn seeped through the night fog. A rooster was crowing in a nearby barrio, and a breeze stirred from Lingayen Gulf, rattling the palm trees. At 4:30 in the morning of Sunday, January 28, 1945, it was still too dark to see. But the ranger encampment at Calasio bustled with life. Jeep engines revved, generators hummed, cauldrons clanged in the mess tents. The rangers were wide awake, dressed in their combat boots and jungle greens, sipping cups of Nescafe. Everybody had the jitters that morning. The collective adrenaline surge was palpable. Hardly anyone had slept. For many of the rangers, this was their first true assignment, their first brush with combat. All their training, back in New Guinea, couldn't quite prepare them for the knot of emotions they felt now. The men were scared and thrilled in equal measure, touched by a kind of awe. Missions like this one were exceedingly rare. To go in and liberate a camp of doomed POWs was something extraordinary, a genuine prison break. And not just any prison, but a prison full of those guys, the men they'd read about in the papers or knew firsthand, their friends and cousins and older brothers. All those fate-fucked men whose boats left just before theirs was supposed to, who sailed on to this American colony halfway around the world to be sacrificed like goats. Captain Robert Prince had two such friends who'd been sent over to the Philippines ahead of him, close friends, men he'd trained with. They'd gotten trapped on Bataan and hadn't been heard from since. Prince wondered whether they were still languishing in Cabanatuan camp. "I didn't know if they were alive or dead, but I thought, maybe there's a chance," Prince recalled. Everyone knew that the men from Bataan had already suffered hardships that seemed beyond comprehension. So when Colonel Musi suggested that in all likelihood the Japanese planned to sweep these guys into a ditch and slaughter them, the rangers were fired with a zealous outrage. "It made us so damn mad," Prince said. "We couldn't see straight." With this mission, the Army was operating on something like emotion, if the U.S. Army could be said to have emotion. The Rangers had to recognize that the sentimental allure of raiding Cabanatuan outweighed its strategic value. In the narrowest battle analysis, one could legitimately ask whether it was worth risking the lives of these elite young men in a romantic action that might be viewed as desperately ad hoc. What if the intelligence was wrong, and the Japanese weren't planning to massacre the POWs after all? In a full-out war, many armies wouldn't think of gambling so much on an emotional rescue. But that was a reckoning not one of the Rangers cared to make. The force of Musi's argument was irresistible. These men had to be liberated. The colonel made the endeavor sound so grand that to be part of it felt like the honor of a lifetime, a glorious entrustment. As Captain Prince's first sergeant Robert Anderson put it, "This was the most thrilling thing I had ever been a part of, and I'd have died before I would have missed it." Colonel Musi had proposed the sweetest imaginable use of force, to defend and avenge in the same act.